Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the spirit about it?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
This episode of the IGN UK podcast is brought to you by Alienware. Check out their latest generation of gaming laptops, desktops, monitors, and accessories featuring truly out-of-this-world designs. Visit alienware.co.uk today.
It's another episode of the IGN UK podcast, and oh, have we got a treat for you today. Joe Screbbles, you're a treat.
Damn right, I'm a snack.
Yeah, you are. And all the way from San Francisco via Newcastle upon Tyne, Lucy James.
Ayo, I'd say it's probably the other way around, though.
Yeah, no. That's why I was trying to work that out. I think that is
well,
right.
No, I am from.
No, it's right. Via.
Yeah, but would you say I'm not in Newcastle at the present?
Yeah, so you have gone via Newcastle to get there. It works. Yeah.
It works.
He was right, but we both were confused.
I've been practicing this for hours in my head. And
I'm sorry.
Deconstructed.
It is very. It's very early in the morning here.
It is. It's like 7:30. This is the first thing you've done today. But is there any better way to start your day?
Than doing work for a competitor company.
Then chatting with my two friends who I miss very dearly.
Aww. Yes.
Lucy, who are you?
Oh, the eternal question. I am a senior video producer. If you want to classify me by my work, senior video producer over at GameSpot.com, a fine video game and entertainment website, youtube.com/GameSpot. All right, I've done my contractual obligation. I've worked at GameSpot for 6 years. I've been in the UK games industry long, 2 years on top of that. Known you fine lads for a good few years. I work on a lot of stuff over at GameSpot. I host the Next Gen show, Generation Next. I'm on the podcast. I work on the original programming team, so stuff like audio logs, Remember When, Loadout, that's all my team, and just prolific over there.
Just generally prolific.
Prolific.
Cut, it's all good
cut
stuff.
Cut all of that and just go from I am and then prolific.
Yes. But also... I play Overwatch with you boys a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe too much.
Well.
Got some important questions for you.
Major questions.
What is your favourite game?
Of all time or right now?
All time.
Okami.
Really?
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah. I would have, you know what? I would have said Kingdom Hearts 2. But I have soured on Kingdom Hearts since the release of 3.
So. I think that's fair. Okami has been a game that I've started 3 times and has always been too long. Do you think it's too long?
I've got a few hours in and fell off.
It's a game that I played at a very particular time in my life where I had the time to finish it. And honestly, if you push through that, the beginning especially is quite egregious because... the text in that game and the can be grating. I'll give it that, but it is a very beautiful and very very adorable game.
It is incredible. Like it's mad that it still looks that good. When they did that re-release the other year, and it was like it just looked perfect even amid modern games. You're like, oh, Kamiya can really make a game, can't he? He's good at that.
Nice.
He's good.
And. While I just quickly close my window to stop any more aeroplane noise.
Oh.
What's your favourite film?
I wasn't expected to be given these hard questions at such an early point in the morning. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I would say.
That is a good one. Did you get that, Cardi? Did you hear it?
No, I missed it.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, that is... Michelle... Well, isn't that just the saddest time you could possibly have?
I know, yeah. But it's one of those ones where every time I go into it, I'm like, oh, remember kooky old Michel Gondry and all his ideas? And then you're
I love that.
Oh, this isn't Be Kind Rewind, it's the sad one.
No, I absolutely love that film as well. It is...
Soundtrack as well.
Number 33 on the IMDb for people who care.
Did you know that off the top of your head?
Me.
Yeah.
No, I literally just looked it up.
Okay, good. Okay.
Wait, did you have it open in a tab?
I just clicked on it. You see, my hands are so quick and nimble that you didn't even realise me opening a tab.
But have you got it in a... Have you bookmarked it?
No, but I can just type in let and it opens.
Oh, okay, that's right, okay.
It's in my history.
Okay.
Like, it's on Letterboxd.
Oh, so. I thought it was in a Google... I've seen the Google Doc.
You have? You saw the original rustic form of the sign.
Rustic form.
The crumpled up piece of paper first, and then it was a Google Doc.
My mind.
Yeah, if you look in the background of the beautiful pastoral painting, Constable's the Haywayne, you'll find the IMDb on an old bit of Google sheet in the back of it.
It's funny how they knew back then. It's like the new Da Vinci Code.
It's crazy that Constable was so into your ordered listing.
It's what he does. Have you got a favourite TV show?
Ooh, I love Lost and Battlestar Galactica and Arrested Development. They're my children. I could not
good. Different vibes.
Could not choose between them.
Which one do you think you've watched the most times?
Arrested Development.
Yeah,
easily. Mm-hmm. Like Lost, I think Lost had such a profound impact on me because it was the first show that I fully became. Involved in the internet culture of it. You know, I wasn't on the podcast, but I was listening to the podcast. I was trawling through forums. I was looking at all of the external stuff they were doing to feed into the show and like had theories. My sister and I would ring or text each other after every episode. But I've only seen it through twice, I think. But everyone in quarantine is watching it. Like young Simon Cardi.
For the first time.
Yeah.
I'm just started the second series, so I'm getting along with it. And I'm enjoying it very much.
It's a great show. Well, and that's the thing. It's one of those rare shows that a lot of it has stuck with me, even though it was almost 20 years ago, which is terrifying.
I think I've said it before, but the only reason I didn't carry on with Lost after Series 1 is because it did the move from Channel 4 to Sky 1, and I didn't have Sky, so I just got really sad. And those were the days when it was expensive to keep up with something, so I was like, fuck this.
No, my stepdad, and that was when he and my mum had just started dating, had Sky, and he would tape it for me. So immediately,
that is
he immediately
stepdad points
endeared himself to me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And the big question, of course, have you seen The Prestige?
You know I have.
Well, if I have to ask it.
Can't go against the format.
There's lots of people that might not know.
No, that's true. I have seen The Prestige quite a few times. I think the last time I watched it was when I was on the plane back from San Francisco to the UK last time. Rented it.
Was that Christmas?
That's a good film.
Yeah. Would have been.
That is a good Christmas film as well.
That's a good Christmas film.
Great Christmas film. I believe you had a dream about it last night, Lucy.
I did. So I haven't had to wake up. I usually wake up at about 8:30, depending on what meetings I've got going on. And I had to be up for like 7:15 today, and I had an anxiety dream about it. But my anxiety dream manifested in the fact that you guys are going to see The Prestige, and I didn't want to be late. There were also other bits involved in the dream that I didn't tell you about, where it was also like a really awkward meeting with people that I went to school with but haven't seen since I left. And one of them was like a girl that I'm no longer friends with because she turned into a bit of a dick. And like another one was just a really random person that I didn't even hang out with. And then Jake Decker, Dave Jewett, and Tamor were there also. It was a nice little crew. We went to see The Prestige.
I told Tam the other day, I don't remember my dreams often anymore, but I had a dream where I was just in, I don't know whose house it was, but me and I saw Tam for like the first time, because I haven't seen Tam in like a year now, or 6 months.
Yeah.
But just saw him, and we just had a big hug.
Aww.
And that was the dream. It was lovely.
Remember hugs?
Do you remember People? Yeah, they were good. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we're not just here to talk about you, Lucy. Get over yourself. Because there's lots of stuff to talk about this week,
ooh,
including some news that happened merely an hour or two ago when we're recording this, which caused quite the scramble at our end.
Yes.
It's the 35th anniversary of Mario. Joe Screbbles, run us through what they've told us.
Oh, fucking Nintendo with their drops out of nowhere. I was having such a nice chill out day. I was ready for the podcast, and then fucking all the Mario games got announced. So, Lucy, I don't believe you know much of what got announced, so I'm interested in your take. The main one is the big rumoured thing, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which contains Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy, but not Super Mario Galaxy 2 for no reason.
Oh.
And also, apparently, according to a press release, is coming out on September 18th, which is great, but will only be on sale until March 31st. At which point, what? They delete it?
Like, and Nintendo all right?
Like, they're so weird.
They're such a weird company.
They're their own. It's not like they've got to get this license off of anyone.
Yeah,
who are you competing with? Yourself.
Sonic.
I think my best guess is they'll release all three as separate downloads at the end of that time that you have to pay more for, whether that's in a new virtual console or in some form, because that is too bizarre.
It's probably like, they've just worded it badly, and it's like a limited time deal for 6 months rather than they're disappearing forever.
So what they've said is, like, there is a limited edition physical one. That's definitely going to stop when it runs out. But then they've specifically said digital will only be sold till March 31st. But the only thing other in there that you would lose if it went away is they've got like a special music player, like in Smash Bros, where you can play it with the screen off, like a giant iPod, which is I've always found very weird. But, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah. I'm excited
about this, though, because
go on.
It's a big blind spot. For me is
me too.
This middle era of Mario games. Like, I've never played Sunshine or either Galaxy.
Oh my god. And
me either. I've been told
Galaxy and Galaxy 2 are two of the greatest games.
Galaxy is
ever made,
regularly.
So I'm jumping in.
Yeah, Galaxy regularly pops into my head when I'm asked what my favourite game is. That is insane. It's so good. You're gonna love it. I can't wait.
I'm very excited.
The other thing they've announced, the other major one they announced, was they are bringing Super Mario 3D World, and it comes out on Switch, and it comes out February 21st. But comes with a somewhat ominous teaser for an expansion called Bowser's Fury. Which sounds like I've made it up, but I swear to God. And what all it showed in the trailer was like a rainy bit of Super Mario 3D World, and like, you know the cat bell that you get in that game, the power-up? It's like a bell with little ears on, and it turns you into Cat Mario. It's like that, but all covered in darkness. And, like, Cat Mario's, like, sitting in front of it really sad.
What?
It's so weird.
It's like a horror expansion.
Yeah. Or just, like, Doug Bowser angrily sat at his desk in the rain.
I would love that.
I'd love that.
Why did this direct not come out quicker? So there's that. Now, we get onto the stuff that I'm super into. Super Mario Bros. 35, which is not the 35th edition. It is Tetris 99, but with the original Super Mario Bros. So 35 people play Super Mario Bros. Simultaneously, and if you defeat enemies in your screen, you send them to other people's screens to fill them up with enemies they have to fight.
Oh, that's cool.
It sounds mad.
That's cool.
There's like an item roulette thing, so you can get like power-ups that wouldn't have normally been on the courses, and there's like strategies in the same way as Tetris 99, where you're like, send all my blocks that I clear to the best player or the worst player or whoever. You get those strategies that you can send to other players on the Super Mario Bros. Course.
So are you racing to the end of the whole of the first game?
Well, I think it's course by course, so I'm guessing it's like World 1-1, World 1-2 type stuff. They haven't made that totally clear, but that would be my guess.
But it's not like a Battle Royale thing.
Well, you're not hard to tell. Okay. It's a battle royale in that there are multiple people and people will get eliminated, rather, and you want to be the last person standing. I'm not sure they've said exactly how that will be, but that comes out on October 1st. Again, it is only available until March 31st, but it's a digital-only game exclusive to Switch Online members. So
it makes me think they're doing. Are they changing up how online works?
Maybe they're doing something.
Is that when the new Switch comes out?
Well, that is the other. You know, people think Q1, which March 31 would be just inside. So could be. Mm-hmm. They're also bringing out. This is more for like old nerds, but they're bringing out a proper new Game & Watch, but full colour with the original Super Mario Bros. On it and Super Mario Bros. 2 and a bunch of little Easter eggs. I just think that's nice. But then, to me is the best one. Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, right?
Yes, I'm well into this.
It is a...
Because I'm a child.
It is a real-life mixed reality Mario Kart game. You buy a cart, like a big cart, like that, like a small loaf of bread, a half loaf.
Yeah.
And it connects...
Like a remote control car.
And it's got a... Well, yeah, but remote control cars can be all sorts of shapes. Half loaf. It's your classic half-loaf RC. ARRC. And it's got a little camera on the back, and it connects to your Switch, which is the controller. But you put gates around your room, which become the course in the game. So on your Switch screen, you see a course created by real-life gates you've put around your room. And
it sounds incredible.
You can race
each other. So it's not like a Labo thing. It's an actual car.
It is a little car.
Yeah.
With a camera on it. And it's basically an AR, like a mixed reality thing on your Switch screen. You can race digital characters or you can race each other. And you can get items, you can throw them, which will make the car in real life stop or do stuff or react badly. Like, it sounds fucking amazing. I'm so into it.
Yeah. AR scale electric, and that's what I want.
And it's been made...
At the moment, I think...
It's been made by this studio. It's their first game called Velan Studios, but they are... It's run by the co-founders of Vicarious Visions, who did Guitar Hero and Skylanders, and like, so they've got real pedigree with this stuff. It just looks fucking wicked.
I think at launch you'll be able to get either a Mario or a Luigi.
Yes,
I think you can get either car.
And that comes out on what is that? I think it's like October 16th.
Oh, so that's soon.
All of this is before the end of the year, except for 3D World, which is.
You know what would be cool is if. I don't know if it's in... Because I haven't read up on it. If, like, I set up a track in my room and then I could invite you online to play on that track as well.
I think, sadly, you have to play with real cars in the room. But you can have four cars
at the same
time.
I wonder if there's, like, a max.
Which is great.
Four, if you could get eight cars going, that would be insane.
And we've talked about this already off the call, but, like, who the fuck has any space for a Mario Kart course in their house in...
We'll rent out a small church hall and have a Grand Prix.
Well, that's the thing. Our studio will actually be great for this, and I'm super excited for when... That's the only reason I'm excited about going back to the studio.
I'm excited to see my friends.
I see you on here. It's fine. And there's a bunch of other stuff they announced, but basically, it was a very chunky little direct, and I thought a lot of it was very good, apart from their insane decisions, as per usual. But... Yeah, I thought it was great. I'm very pleased.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, morning.
Are you going to be driving carts around your home, Lucy?
Oh, yeah. Because could you imagine, like, Portillo reacting to... Portillo reacts to...
He could be
Mario
like a
Kart.
Little...
I can imagine him sitting on one, like a little...
For those who don't know, Portillo is a tiny man. No, he's a little...
he's a tiny old man.
He's a little sausage dog. And he would actually make quite a good little gate to drive a car under, I reckon.
He would. Yeah. But then the thing is, he's a little sausage dog, he doesn't really have that much clearance between the floor and his stomach because he has a little belly. if you gently cup it, he sucks it in because he's self-conscious about it.
But only self-conscious when touched.
Yeah. It's the, it does like the Scrubs thing where he goes, ooh. You touch him.
Well, lots of Mario to look forward to.
Yeah, mate.
But this week, it is firmly Marvel's Avengers week, as it officially launches today, Friday, the 4th of September. I've already played too much of this game.
You are!
Despite thinking it's not very good.
Yeah, wait, hang on. That's the thing I was going to ask you, because I remember you and I talking about our beta. Oh, God, it's nice to be able to say beta and not get absolutely, you know, ripped apart for it.
It's technically the correct way to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm
beta
like,
is what the Greeks said. So
thank you.
Bloody deal.
Exactly. Because the beta did that game zero favours. That beta was shite.
Mm.
But playing the actual game itself, I'm enjoying it so much more, but there are still a lot of things about it that just stop it from being great. But you and I had like the same opinion, so I'm interested to see what you think now.
There's some just fundamental flaws of the game, as in whole systems, but it's also just a complete buggy mess. Like, it's been a long time since I've played a game that's out and is this buggy.
Yeah.
Like, some characters don't have hair. I talked to one character whose cap was on the floor, moving as their head, like, moving but on the floor, wasn't on their head. Like, I've had whole scenes where checkpoints didn't load, so I had to reload checkpoints.
Yeah.
I've had bits where whole lines have just repeated for 5 minutes and no more dialogue is played.
Yep.
Like, there's so many bugs. But I will say, I'm strangely having a fun time with it. It's a bizarre game to me. So I don't know how far you two are through the campaign. I've finished.
I'm Iron Manny. I'm early-ish.
Just got to Utah, so the second bit from the beta when you're with Bruce. Yeah,
there we go. Yeah. So early on. So I'm obviously not going to spoil anything because most people haven't even had a chance to play it. But it took me about 9 or 10 hours. And overall, I'd say it is a good campaign because there's half the missions are really fun and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them are just repetitive filler nonsense, which is a shame.
Yeah.
There's some really good character moments. I do think all the characters are really well written and performed.
Yeah.
Especially Kamala, I think.
Kamala's so good.
She's incredible.
Such a good character.
My favourite, by the way, just to cut in, my favourite bug I've had so far is the no hair one. But it happened for the first time when, this isn't a spoiler, it's in media you've already seen. Kamala falls over and ingests Terrigen mists, which turns her into an inhuman. But as soon as it cut back to her after that, she had no hair. And I was like, does Terrigen make you bald? Like, I genuinely thought it was like a choice because everyone else in the scene had their hair and she didn't. And I was like, wow, they're going like an alopecia angle with this. And then, her hair was just back in the next scene. It's very strange.
But yeah, it's a fun campaign. It tells a fairly simple story. It's a classic comic book story. It doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Too bold with it, but it serves a purpose of basically it is a very long tutorial for the multiplayer, which is a shame. I wasn't tearing up as I know my throat there.
Multiplayer?
I just don't like seeing campaigns reduced to be plot lines. I was playing some multiplayer. I've been playing a lot with Tom Marks, who's reviewing it for us over in the US, and he's doing a great job with it, and I am not envious of him at all for doing this one. But he had a great bug last night. We were playing together. He was playing as Captain America, and in every single cutscene, his Captain America, it's hard to explain what's happening. His face, every time he spoke, kind of slightly melted.
Oh!
Like his eyelids were drooping down and his mouth was going all over the place.
I thought
it was horrific.
I couldn't tell if that was a bug or if it was like some weird bit of the story. Like
we didn't know if it was tied to the one skin he was using because happened for a good hour, but it was horrific. But almost those sort of bugs that don't break the game are just making me laugh, so I kind of don't mind them.
Who are you maining?
It is broken.
Who are you maining?
Sorry? I am maining Iron Man. So that's a weird one, because in the beta, I didn't find him fun at all.
Yeah.
And I was firmly in the Black Widow camp. She's still my second favourite, I think. But Iron Man, after playing the campaign, I kind of fell in love with him and his abilities. I love the lasers. I've got so many laser abilities, including...
Is it you got a beam?
Like if I just
got a big beam.
I've got a big beam. I love my Diablo beam. I've got a very similar beam in Iron Man, and it shrinks people with pin particles.
Oh, that's really
cool. That's just funny.
Yeah.
So, I'm liking that. He's already power level 97.
Wait, what's the cap?
150.
Bloody hell, mate! It's been 3 days.
That's the one thing I'll give it. You are constantly progressing.
Yeah.
Like, every mission you do level up sometimes like 5 power levels of hop.
Okay. Yeah, because I started yesterday, and like it does hold off on the introducing gear and leveling up for a good bit. Like it takes time to establish the story before it lets you level up. But now I've got Kamala and Bruce just like slowly getting better gear. And the one thing I'll say about Avengers, I am enjoying it. It commits a lot of game design things that I really don't like. Hold square to pick up, but the holding square takes slightly too long, so it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And also, that's an attack move, so half the time you just end up punching a wall.
Yeah.
So.
But also, the Destiny-esque menu stuff of, you know, you've got the giant circle as your cursor.
Stop doing cursors in fucking console games. Pez did this years ago, and they stopped. And if Pez has stopped doing something bad, then you've got problems.
But I think a lot of it does, and Joe, you wrote a great piece about this during the beta, like how just fundamentally awful, this may be the worst gear system I've seen in a game. I didn't play Anthem.
I just hold L2 to equip the best one, and I leave it.
I didn't even know that was a thing you could do. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. That's brilliant.
You just do that.
Just hold L2.
But sometimes you do want to look at the higher level stuff isn't the best stuff because there are perks attached.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But but also now you can like power up your gear too.
But me and Tom played a good like 3 hours last night together, and we must have done like, this is what it boils down to. It's so repetitive. Like there's about 4 different mission types in the whole game.
Oh.
And a lot of them take... And we selected 4 different... No, 3 different missions in a row, it was. That were all, like, the end of... There's, like, iconic mission change you can do. And people... Don't get me started. Me and Joe agree on this. Don't get me started on the word iconic, because people don't understand what it means. there's nothing iconic about something I'm seeing for the first time.
It's technically correct, the best kind of correct.
We did 3 missions in the Eastern Seaboard, which is like a knockoff New York, and it all culminated in going to exactly the same AIM facility, doing the exact same mini puzzle in there, going to the roof and fighting 3 different people up there that were exactly the same fight, one of which is supposed to be a villain. I just literally hit him off the roof and he went, his whole bar went.
That's great.
So
goodbye.
But that is the equivalent in the game of that bit in Indiana Jones where he shoots the man with the sword. So I think technically also Spartan kicking anyone off a ledge in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which was the best thing.
That
would kill them. This would not kill this person I'm talking about.
I see.
But yeah, I'm hoping I'm playing it because I think it's one of those games. It's like we play Overwatch, although Overwatch is fundamentally a fun game to play.
I was going
to
say, where are you going with that comparison?
It's just good. I've enjoyed playing it with Tom, just talking to him while playing it. It's kind of something you can do mindlessly in the background and feel like you're achieving something.
Yeah.
Despite, at the same time, doing nothing with your life. I am just spamming square and triangle constantly. There's no real tactics involved.
No.
Like, there should be. That's the pain of it to me. Like, if I'm Iron Man and someone's Hulk, we should have different roles to play, whereas we're all just running up to people, pressing square.
Yeah, smashing. We're not.
There's no real teamwork. There's the only bits that require teamwork, really, are there's vaults, and there was one in the beta you could do, which require a little bit of teamwork, because someone has to stand on one thing while one person goes and does another thing. But it's hardly like, we're not combining to take down this threat. It's just wholly underwhelming, but yet I can't stop playing.
I think it will. But people have said this about Destiny for years, right? And obviously, I think Destiny is a game that makes playing it more fun moment to moment. But it will live or die on how much it can make the pursuit of wealth interesting. Like, it's not about whether the game itself is fun; it's about whether you can get crazy shit for doing crazy shit. So if the raids are great. Or, you know, if its equivalents of raids are great, then people will keep playing it for years because that is just something that people like doing all the time.
I hope with these DLC characters they add just more Marvel stuff, because you are 98% of the time just smashing these AIM robots, which, you know, I want more villains. I want more actual, like, Marvels. Something that it maybe could be considered iconic. That would be nice. But yeah, it's kind of, I suppose me, Lucy and Tat, we all played Borderlands 3 together. Oh, and had a similar experience. Yeah. Like, I don't think any of us actually really loved that game at all. But we played through the whole thing.
I was going to say, hang on, you used the word loved. I would say, I don't think any of us enjoyed that game at all. No, the gunplay was fun.
We still played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we still
played
finished
all 30 hours.
God, was it 30
hours?
It's more
just to hang out.
Yeah.
It's probably more.
Yeah.
But even Borderlands, like when you pick up gear, it's exciting sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You do throw away most of them, but at least those guns like do crazy things.
And very
different
things.
Oh, that's a fun
things.
Mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas the gear in this game, you pick up and you see a stat go up by 0.5%. You're like, I don't feel any more powerful, but apparently I am.
I thought you were going to say, I don't feel anymore. I just
I'm sure
don't
we'll
feel
talk
anymore.
More about Avengers in the future once it's out and once everyone's got to play and actually finish the campaign. There seems to be little snippets of story in the multiplayer missions as well. It doesn't seem, the campaign doesn't just end and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to where they take it. There's some cool little teasers for what may
that's
come,
it.
Which I won't
ruin. I obviously haven't played very much, but I don't know if any of this is true, but I love that they are already, even like within the first scenes, they're teasing other characters there, and we know, you know, at least three who are coming. So I am into the idea of like that this game could get somewhere. Do you know what I mean? Like if it adds enough, because I love the idea that Hawkeye stuff comes in and it's a co-op campaign that we haven't got to play so far and things like that. They're already planning those little improvements that make all these games interesting after a while. So yeah, I'm super into it.
I feel like, yeah, at this stage, I'm like...
Or I'm into the idea.
At the moment, it's an okay game that I'm having fun with, and in a year, I could be having a great time with, I think. Like, it's by no means an Anthem situation. It's not a completely broken game that everyone's going to fall off of. I feel it definitely has more legs than that, so... Mm-hmm. And some people, this will just be their favourite game ever, seeing Marvel characters running around beating up people,
I'm just glad
it's
that...
It's what some people want in the world.
Exactly, but also, like, I'm just glad that Kamala plays such a big part in the campaign. Ooh, I'm getting emotional.
Oh, my God.
No, California's on fire, and so sometimes it just sounds like I've smoked an entire pack of cigarettes. No, Kamala being, you know, front and centre in that campaign is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so, such a cool idea.
Yeah.
And she's the most fun to play, I think.
Yeah. And she's the most interesting character as well.
She's the sweetest.
So, yes. Very good. I've played a lot of that, and I've kind of felt guilty because I haven't played this next game at all, but everyone says it's delightful. Spiritfarer.
Yeah, mate.
Ooh, it is delightful.
I believe both of you have played quite a bit of this.
Yeah. I think I'm 15 or so hours in, something like that. I've played it a fair bit. I'm getting towards the end of the tech tree type stuff. If you don't know what Spiritfarer is, it's like quite a bizarre mix between like a walking simulator, a management game, a dating game of sorts, and like a jot of Animal Crossing or like city building as well. So you've got there's a lot of scavenging, a lot of that kind of stuff, but it's all built within this idea of like a really relationship driven game where you build a fucking town on a boat, and it's really cool. It makes no attempt to explain what its world is at all, which I really like.
Yeah.
It's just like, by the way, you're in charge of the dead.
I like that NPCs look like the thing from Journey until you chat with them, and then they become animals who can talk.
I think the story is, but this is like my own headcanon version because I haven't actually looked it up. You have replaced Charon the ferryman of the River Styx fame, and you are in charge of ferrying people from their lives to the underworld. So you're kind of in purgatory a bit, but like,
yeah,
the world is made up of islands, like settlements on islands. So it's not like people get there and have to go straight to there. They can kind of just
live
lives.
They've got unfinished business. Yeah. They can just stick around.
It feels like a nice combo to me of Animal Crossing in the world of Grim Fandango with animals.
There is a bit of that.
And that's what I'm into.
But there's... The odd thing about it is it's not like... It sounds like it's wholly sentimental. Like it's all about making people come to terms with their issues and dealing with it. But a lot of the time you're not. You're just like talking with people about their lives, and once they've talked enough, they move on. Like, it's not about fixing.
What is the tone like? Is it quite sad, or is it funny, or is it
both? It's bittersweet. Like, it's very cutesy in places, but then, you know, there's swearing and dark issues, and, you know, there's adult themes. It's quite, I guess it's sort of young adult in a way.
It's the eternal sunshine of video games.
No, it's not that sad.
But then also, the NPCs are where the comedy really comes from, because they just have really random lines. I remember walking past one of them and talking to him, and he went, "I think moist is a weird word and should be banned."
Oh, yeah.
I agree.
I've met that guy. But the actual structure of the game is essentially like upgrades to get to new places. So you go on your boat around this world, and then you get enough stuff from that area to build the upgrade that gets you to the next area, because you have to get through an ice wall or whatever. You know, it's got almost Metroid-y stuff built in, but on a sort of management game-y scale.
There's no like combat or platforming or anything.
There's some very, very light platforming,
But it's not. I haven't really had anything locked off story and progression wise. It's mostly there'll be something on the top of a hill, and if I can get there using the abilities I've unlocked.
Yes.
Because you can get some rewards, get some seeds.
But it's got this weird, it's ultimate podcast game stuff, because most of the time there's very little noise. And you're doing repetitive stuff on the way to your next main task. And I'm just really enjoying turning to it every now and then. And, like, occasionally feeling bad that I'm not paying very much attention to the story, even though it's clearly there. But it's kind of doing its job in a different way for me. It's quite meditative.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Because you've just reminded me that the Alan Partridge podcast is out today.
Oh, so is it?
I may well combo those.
I think that's a good combo.
Into a lovely, tasty treat. Is it, one last question about Spiritfarer. Is it an actual campaign you can finish, or does it go on forever like Animal Crossing?
Yeah, it's got a story.
You can finish it.
Its story is built out of the bespoke characters that you have to make friends with to move them on, essentially. And I think there's maybe like 10, maybe fewer.
Yeah.
But they all take quite a long time and quite specific quest lines to get them to move on, essentially.
I believe it's free on Game Pass, but I am kind of tempted to pay the £25 for it. Sounds perfect for Switch.
It's a great Switch game.
It is also really good on a TV. Like, it is gorgeous. I don't think they got across very well. Like, I'm not a super big fan of those sort of hand-drawn-y 2D sprite games, but the animation is incredible for some of this. Like, some of the things they're doing with that hand-drawn stuff looks way more filmic than gamey, which I think is super impressive.
The hug animations in particular.
Yes.
Because there is a dedicated hug, not button, but command, and each character reacts differently when you hug them. So some of them will be a little bit resistant at first, then just kind of melt into you. You have one character who you knew... Like, you seem to know all of them before, or most of them before, from the time before.
It seems to be pre-existing relationships,
And there's, your uncle, and he just throws himself into a hug, which is very, very cute. Except I don't want to get more lightning in a bottle. Stop asking me.
Oh, it's so boring. The odd thing is, some of these stories are apparently based on real life, so I don't know how much of it is, like, autobiographical. But, like, Uncle Athel is based on a real person. Which... Have you got to the end of his quest line?
No, because I need to get him fried chicken.
Oh,
and I haven't
annoying.
Got the thing to get fat.
Of course.
I know that.
Of course.
He loves food.
He does.
Ring the curtain.
Once you get to the end of that quest line, let me know, because...
I'll text you.
It's very interesting when you know it's based on real life.
Oh, God.
It's not grim. It's not horrible.
Okay.
But it's... not in that way, anyway. Not in an uncle way.
No one was thinking.
Yeah, you
I
were.
I wasn't making
no one was
that.
You both were, you dirty dogs. Right.
Another game that was at Nintendo's Indie Direct they did like a week or two ago now. They've been dropping directs like hot coals on
a finished sauna.
Yeah, that's exactly where with that one. A Short Hike, which I played at the weekend.
It's so good.
It's so good. It only took me like an hour and a half, maybe. But it's a lovely, I think it's only like a fiver on the Switch store.
Ooh.
But it's a lovely, quiet game that is kind of imagine a tiny little part of Breath of the Wild with no combat, and you're kind of there. Mm-hmm. It's you are a girl who is also... Is it, you're a bird. Does it say what type of bird you actually are?
Can't remember.
You're kind of penguin-y. Yeah.
You've got a big beak, but you can fly.
Yeah, basically you're a girl who is on holiday on an island, and you need to get to the top of the mountain to find phone reception, and that is all you're told to do.
Aww.
And it's lovely.
I really, I've made a note to play this weekend.
It does have that like movie length element where you could put like 5 hours in to finding every secret, because what it does, it has this really neat way of displaying the world where it's an open world, but it's essentially built around a single hill. And so as you move around that hill, the camera follows you, so you can never really see like the horizon or a landscape. It's always slightly above. So you're constantly looking for the next way to get either up that hill or round that hill. And then it like got really nice like flying mechanics and upgrades and stuff. Yeah. So you could go all in and explore it all. But yeah, the actual story takes about a couple of hours, and it's just... lovely.
It's lovely. You just need to complete like quests for other animal people around in order to get these golden feathers, which give you extra stamina, basically. And you need that stamina to reach the top of the mountain. It's just lovely in the way... Like, there's no set way of doing it, as far as I can see. I did it one way. I think I only had, like, 8, maybe 9 golden feathers when I did it. And I watched someone do it, and they had, like, 15. Yeah. So I don't know where they got all the other ones from.
I think once you get to, like, the near the top, it's there's a sign that says you need at least this to get up, and that's essentially like you could do it, but it will take a bit of work, or you can really stock up and just use them all in one go.
I initially did it with one less feather than they said I needed, and I felt like a genius.
Look at you, elite gamer.
Crazy.
I know, I am a pro level, a short hike
awesome
player.
Games done
maybe
quick
you could be too. Yes, get me on. But I would recommend that to everyone who wants a lovely little time with a short hike. I've also barely played any of another game that was on that stream is Manifold Garden, which I think that was on... was it on iOS? I think it was in Apple Arcade originally.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
I may be wrong. It's a puzzle game. It's kind of Portal-like, but imagine Portal with no narration, but just a banging like Vangelis-esque Blade Runner score going on.
Okay,
it's really nice. All the twinkly bits, but it's a puzzle that revolves half around gravity. Mm-hmm. So the main mechanic is you can walk, you can run, you can't jump. As far as I know, I haven't been able to yet. But you just walk up to a wall, and if you press R2. That wall becomes the floor, so the room spins, so gravity is on that side of the building. Does that make sense? So
yes.
Say you walked up to the wall in your bedroom, press R2, and then that wall becomes the floor,
yeah.
It rotates.
Uh-huh. Oh, that makes sense.
And there's lots of puzzles based around that, like getting certain blocks to areas by moving them onto walls. And it's very hard. I'm only half an hour, I'm barely in, but it has the hallmarks of a good puzzle game to me. I know it got like a lot of rave reviews when it initially came out, but it's out now on everything. I think it's definitely on Switch and PS4. So
that's the thing, because I cancelled my
recommendation.
Apple Arcade subscription, and now I'm excited that everything is just like slowly coming out, and I can pick and choose the stuff that I want. Because even though Apple Arcade, they said, "Oh, it's the cream of the crop," it's not. There's some shiters on there.
Play Grindstone.
That's it. So
Grindstone.
I don't have anything to play Apple Arcade on, like my iPad's too old, and so it just makes me sad all the time when I think about it. And then Grindstone got announced, and I was suddenly like, oh yeah, actually, that was the only game I wanted, so give a shit.
The only game I want to come to other things is Patterned, which is basically a puzzle, as in like jigsaw puzzly, but with patterns. And it's just a very wholesome, very fun, relaxing game.
That sounds
good. But I was not going to pay $5 a month just for that game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Why would you? Why would
you?
Why
would I?
Where would you?
Out there, oceans of time.
Quickly, just want to cover this, because we're talking about all sorts of little indie bits. Did either of you ever play Out There or Out There Chronicles?
No.
I did not.
Right, so they're wicked. Out There came out shortly after FTL, and everyone compared it to FTL, but it wasn't like FTL. So basically, it was a bizarre French sci-fi game about essentially resource management, but you're just getting your spaceship from a place where you wake up in a galaxy that you can't understand and you have no idea how you got there, and you trade up spaceships and collect resources from procedurally generated planets to get to like a weird signal or something along those lines that's going to tell you what the hell's going on. It's quite simple. It's very punishing. It's one of those games that you play over and over again to get slightly better at every time, which is where the FTL comparisons came in. But it was also just like a fucking weird French story generator for sci-fi stuff. Like, really bizarre things. Like, you learn an alien language all the way through. Sort of like No Man's Sky to an extent. You learn basic words as you go through, which can help with puzzles. There's all sorts of, like, cosmic bullshit. Like, really, like, proper end of 2001 style stuff, but all done in text adventure form. So it's just completely baffling. And it was just great. And because it was slightly badly translated from French, it had this extra, like, weird element where you weren't quite sure if they wanted to say what they were saying or not. Like, for instance, there was one place where I got to a planet, and you got there, and it was quite close to the sun, and there's this text thing that comes up, and it's like, you get out of your ship, and you step across the planet. The ground is sticking to you somehow. And suddenly it basically becomes clear that this planet is just made of caramel. And it's not like it's not meant to be like a mystical, whimsical thing.
Oh, galaxy caramel.
Yeah, exactly. It's not meant to be whimsical. It's just meant to be like, science is fucked. There could be a planet made of sugar. like, it's so good. The point of this basically being like, Out There came out, it was really good. Then they took some time off and made this weird full text adventure thing called Out There Chronicles that they never finished, but they released two episodes of. And it was even stranger. Like, a truly weird. If you've liked the sorcery games by Inkle and that kind of stuff, which I'm super into, it's just amazingly odd. And now they are finally making a sequel to the original Out There called Oceans of Time, which is coming out on PC. There is a demo. And it is essentially the first game again, but with really nice graphics and a few more systems. Like, you can build a party and send them out onto planets to do expeditions and stuff.
Ooh.
The demo is very short. You can try it now. Like, it's slightly underwhelming that it's so short, but it has one event in it. It's not procedurally generated. You get out, you get to an anomaly on a thing, on a planet, and your whole team suddenly start going insane and self-harming. And, like, it describes how, like, crazy this situation is. And it's just gross and weird and cosmic. And as soon as that happened, I was like, Out There's back. It's great. It's so weird and creepy. I cannot wait for it. Okay. I love Out There.
I've made a note. I've written this down.
Have a look.
Because I want to try this out.
I think some people get really frustrated with it because it's quite kind of random death-y.
Gotcha.
You know, like, you can feel quite hard done by, but it's kind of the point. And it's, yeah, it's just very strange. I love it.
Amazing. That reminds me, what have happened to that the club game on that we were obsessed
with?
Oh,
I don't know. Let's have a look. The club. Do you remember did you ever play The Club, Lucy?
The Club?
It was by Crows, the guys that made Dr. Langoskov and the Terribly Cursed Emerald or whatever it's called.
Oh, I played that one. I didn't play The Club, though.
Oh. I think it's still there.
I never defeated The Club, that platform.
The Club. Cursed Web Browser Club MMO. I'm in.
We need to get back into that. Okay, now's not the time, Joe, because we have got an endless search to play. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search? Are you safe from the club?
No, I'm still in it.
You gotta get out.
Oh, it's Halloween themed. Sorry, I'll get out.
Okay. No, it's fine. We're playing a game of Go On Name Them, Lucy.
Ooh, okay.
Are you familiar with the concept?
Go On Name.
You are an avid listener, of course.
I am.
If you don't remember what it is there'll be five different topics, and there'll be a set number of answers for each one, and Joe have to bid against each other
to see how many
of those you think you can name.
Okay.
Should we give guess honour to Lucy?
Absolutely.
Bid first? Do you agree with that, Jay? I thought you were going to say absolutely
bullshit.
Not.
Absolutely not. All right.
So, Lucy, I think we've done this one before, but obviously neither of you were on it when we did it. So, mm-hmm. And I thought we'd go on with one that both of you should know pretty well. There are 21 maps in Overwatch in quick play and comp. So not including the arcade, like 3v3 ones. Mm-hmm. So the ones that would be in quick play rotation, there are 21
of them. Are we talking in control maps? Are we talking just one for all three different
One location bits? For those. There's not three different within cool. those. Yeah. But yeah, ones like Petra don't count. Mm-hmm. Like those.
Yeah.
Definitely. So there's 21. Lucy, how many are you going to open with?
I'm going to open with 10.
No, a medium
I've
bid.
I've played a lot less Overwatch recently, so I'm worried. But I'm going to say 12.
Oh, I'll go by two, not one.
13.
Mind games.
13.
13.
14.
15.
Go on, name them.
Okay.
15. Here we go, Lucy.
Who's keeping track? I'll keep track of my fingers.
Me. I've got.
Okay. King's Row. Ilios Well. Ilios Lighthouse.
So, oh, no,
Ilios
sorry.
Is one.
Oh.
We did say
Ilios. Oh, okay. Ilios is one. Okay, so King's Row, okay. Ilios, Junkertown, Route 66, Hollywood, Nepal, Busan. Mm-hmm. Eichenwald.
Yes.
Hold, please. Just thinking about it.
That is eight. That's... You need seven more.
Just over
I'm trying to...
It's hard when you're on the spot.
It is hard when you're on the spot. Wait, so hang on. So, like, Lighthouse doesn't count.
No. Ilios counts as one.
Oasis?
Yes.
Oasis?
Oasis. Numbani.
Nine. Yep, that's 10. So we need five more. There are 11 left to name.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think I am.
What's my least favourite map? So I've done Eichenwald.
I definitely know what my least favourite map is.
There's no hard time limit on this, but I will have to
I know,
soon.
Well... I concede. God, Joe. Joe. It's going to kill me.
I don't have to know.
Is he one? What did I miss?
Paris is the one I was thinking of.
Oh, Paris is
That's the worst
awful.
Map.
So, Havana!
Here's the complete list.
Havana! Oh.
It's too late, Lucy. I'm so sorry.
Blizzard World.
Are you having a good
Blizzard
time
World!
Oh. So yeah, you could have had a Paris, Havana, Busan, Rialto, Blizzard World. Junkertown, Horizon Luna Connolly? Horizon Billy Connolly, Oasis, Eichenwald, mm-hmm. Numbani, mm-hmm. Kings Row, Hollywood, Dorado.
Oh, Dorado.
Watchpoint Gibraltar, Route 66, Nepal, Lijiang Tower,
Ilios,
Volskaya Industries, Temple of Anubis, and Hanamura.
So I did know those, they just didn't want to come into my mind.
It just didn't come to you. Aww. It's fine, it's 1-0 to Joe.
Okay.
For doing nothing, I
the
love
second
this game.
One. Okay, so this one is a bit outrageous, but...
Outrageous?
I just simply had to do it.
You had to give it
Opening
to him.
Opening the bid with Joe. Willem Dafoe has been in 129
films. I'm in. 129.
How many Willem Dafoe films can you name?
Jesus.
There's so many films he's had little parts in, but that face should burn into your mind, shouldn't it?
Six.
Six.
I think I could name seven.
$129. He'd be appalled. To be fair, I don't think I could name more than that.
Eight.
Go on, then.
Okay.
Eight. Here we go.
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yes.
Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yes.
The Lighthouse.
Yes, four.
Big dick chopping scene in Antichrist.
Oh, yep, that's
Boondock
five.
Boondock Saints.
Yes.
Definitely, yeah, because he shouts, "There was a firefight," yeah, doesn't he?
I'm just double checking. Yeah.
Oh, I wear. This is that's six. That was
so
my
two
six.
More.
Is he in? I have to take a punt now. I don't know. I should know more. Is he in Moonrise Kingdom?
Is he in Moonrise Kingdom? He is not
Bollocks.
In Moonrise Kingdom.
Yes. Aquaman, right, mate.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Name the rest.
He even has a very small
Aquaman.
Part in Spider-Man 2.
Oh, he does.
And Finding Nemo.
Yes.
Oh, is he in Isle of Dogs as well?
Also.
Yeah, I think.
I don't.
Is he not?
Is he one of the voices?
I don't think he
maybe
is.
A voiceover.
No, he's not. You could have had, of course, Platoon.
Oh, pfft.
Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh,
Speed 2.
We named all of those as well.
Cruise Control.
Last
week. Yeah. Well, yes. The thing is we played Overwatch last weekend and we were going through his movies. Mm. And that's the only reason that Finding Nemo stuck in my head at all.
For those who wanted to know, we were talking about all the names for his penis he might have based on his films. Because if you didn't listen to last week's episode, Willem Dafoe's got a big old knob.
He does. I looked it up.
And I know, I don't know if this is covered. Is this coming up later? That in
what,
Antichrist?
Sorry. Oh, yeah, we are. That is in feedback, okay. So don't ruin the surprise.
Cool.
You could also add, like, American Psycho.
Oh, of course.
Who is he in American Psycho?
The Aviator. He is, whatchamacallit? Mary Harris? No, he's Donald Kimball. Sorry.
I don't remember that.
Kimball!
Mary Harris is the director. Inside Man. He's in Spider-Man 3 as well.
So. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Lots of film. John Wick.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. Lots of films. But there you go.
Fuck it.
So
sorry,
it is
Will.
Now 1-1-1. Number 3. Lucy to bid first. There have been 19 games developed by BioWare. How many can you name?
That's a good one.
That's a good one. I'll start with a 7.
Seven, a sweet seven.
A sweet seven. Is...
Nine.
Ten.
Ooh, he loves the double jump. Oh, that was a confident 10, but was it a bluff?
11.
No.
12.
Go on, name them.
It's 12.
I was not in any way confident on 11. So.
Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect Andromeda, yes. Jade Empire, BioWare, developer name, Dragon Age Origins,
that's
Dragon
right.
Age 2, Dragon Age Inquisition.
That's 8. Just slow down slightly for me.
Okay.
That is 8.
Ooh, okay.
So how many, what was your bid? Sorry, 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've gone too confident here.
Yes, yes.
Anthem.
Anthem is a ninth. We need three more.
Well, does Dragon Age 4 count? They're making that.
It's not out yet.
Okay.
Can I just say Jade Empire was an amazing shout?
Thank you.
There we go.
Okay, so this is where is it the Old Republic or is it Knights of the Old Republic? It's me pondering to myself. It's not an answer. I never played them. I think it's Knights of the Old Republic.
That is one.
Knights of the Old Republic 2. Oh my god, we're
that
at 11.
Is not...
Was that not them?
No.
Oh, they also had, like... I know, I can't remember the name of it. Go on.
According to their Wikipedia, it was not them. I'll let Joe confirm.
I thought it was. Oh, no, that's the Obsidian one.
Yeah, that's Obsidian.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lucy.
It's okay.
Do you know what's going to be really gutting for you? They did also do Star Wars
they did.
The Old Republic.
That was part of our Austin.
So you were so close.
I got
the other ones you could have had.
Can I guess? Did they do the two?
Yep.
The first two Baldur's Gate games?
They did do
I wasn't 100% confident on Baldur's Gate. And I was like...
Between you, you've done very well there. Yeah. The only ones you haven't got are their first ever game, Shattered Steel. They did MDK2.
Did they?
Never.
What?
Yeah. Neverwinter Nights.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, crap, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mass Effect Galaxy for mobile.
Mm. Are we counting that? I think I played that one.
And Dragon Age Legends.
Oh, we didn't play that one.
Well, there we go. So that is 2-1 to Joe. No one successfully completed their bidding.
Yeah.
That's been a very poor showing.
Some bold bidding. 2-1 to Joe. And he gets to bid first here, and this could be crucial because this one I thought was a slightly easier one. Mm. 9 Wes Anderson films.
Okay. Does it include his Stella Artois?
I have a feeling you might... That is not a film.
Well, it's a short film, so I didn't know.
Feature films. This is one I thought someone could get all of them on. But does he go straight in for it? That's the question.
I'm going to go.
It doesn't include one that isn't out yet, by the way.
Okay, good. Because I wouldn't remember the name. I'll go all 9. Let's bold it.
Go
Let's
on,
go
then.
Bold.
Ooh, go on.
Oh, well, are you going to tell him to name them, Lucy?
Go on, name them.
Bottle Rocket.
Yes.
The Darjeeling Limited. Life Aquatic.
Yes.
Grand Buddha.
Yeah.
Isle of Dogs. Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That is
Royal
6.
Tenenbaums.
That is 7.
Moonrise Kingdom.
That's 8. One more.
It is Rushmore.
It is Rushmore. All 9. There we go.
Thank you.
Well done.
3-1 to Joe. But there is still one more to play.
It's not, it's, to be fair, it's not 129 Willem Dafoe movies, but I am pleased. But I tempered my pleased.
There we go. According to the US website for M&M's, there are 11 varieties.
Is this...
Okay.
These don't include... I would say this. These don't include the snack mix range because they're nonsonse.
Okay.
So there's 11 varieties of M&M that on
and
their
this
website.
Is US contemporary.
US. US contemporary, current US M&M. Seeing as Lucy is based in the US, I thought it...
And I had M&M's just yesterday.
Yeah, and I know Joe is a fan of an M&M. But who isn't? How many can you name, Lucy?
I'll start with a 5. But I do eat a lot of M&M's, so...
But do you have a variety? That's the question.
I'm going to say 6. I always buy M&M's in the airport on the way back. And I always try different ones.
But are some of them still around?
I will say 7.
Go on, name them.
7. 7 M&M's.
Okay. Plain. Peanut.
Milk, we'll take that, yeah.
Yeah, milk.
Yep, 2.
Peanut. Peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Crispy.
Yeah.
They have the hazelnut ones. They've got the mint.
Ooh. There's no hazelnut.
Oh no, sorry,
here.
The hazelnut like chocolate butter. They don't call it Nutella, but it's essentially Nutella.
According to the M&M's website, there's no
hazelnut. I will go to my local
chocolate.
Shop and take a picture of them, Simon.
I'm gonna look.
According to the M&M's,
they're like
hazelnut.
They
spread.
Don't call it.
They're blue.
Yeah, hazelnut spread. But that's basically what Nutella is. So I'm calling a technicality here.
I'm happy to let that stand and get added to the mix, because I can see that it's
okay.
Real.
Okay, it's just not on the official listing, but if it's in stores right now, I'll let it off. That means there's 12.
Oh, they are, it's,
so how
it's
many
new
was that?
As of April 2019.
Hmm. Well, the website's not up to date, then.
Wait, so what did I say? Milk chocolate, peanut
yeah,
butter.
Milk, peanut.
Hazelnut spread.
Crispy. Yeah,
crispy.
So that's 5. So you need 2 more.
The mint ones.
Mm. Yes, mint. That's 6.
And then...
You haven't said the best one.
Pretzel M&M's.
Oh,
yes,
so
the pretzel
good.
Ones.
The pretzel ones.
You could also...
those little caramel shard ones. Like,
oh, they're
like really
good.
Really hard caramel in. Oh, my God. I fucking love M&M's.
Mm-hmm. So you could also have had almond, dark chocolate, coffee nut, white, minis, and get this one, Mega Peanut, which is just bigger peanuts.
Yes.
Mega Peanut.
That's very good.
Mega Peanuts, which leads us nicely on to some Willem Dafoe feedback.
The Mega Peanut.
Peanuts. Didn't even design it that way, but sometimes it just flows. Lucy, I believe you have the first piece of feedback.
I do. This is from Chris Cowan. When I heard your discussion about Willem Dafoe's monster cock in episode 554, I felt compelled to write in and offer a correction. Apparently, Willem Dafoe's hog... Sorry, I didn't mean to sound like Santa there.
Maybe that's what he gave Willem Dafoe for Christmas when he was a younger man.
A Yule hog.
Apparently Willem Dafoe's hog is so, quote-unquote, confusingly large that Lars von Trier had to use a penis double in Antichrist because it would have been too distracting to the audience. I remember reading that quote from the director years ago, not sure if it was a troll job or not. Regardless, the internet did what the internet does, and these t-shirts eventually popped up for sale. And it's an image of a TeePublic page listing. It's just a picture of Willem Dafoe with the text, confusingly large.
I will point out to Chris Cowan, that I agree. We did talk about the Antichrist penis, but there is a video of Willem Dafoe jumping up and down naked. And it is,
I looked it up.
When you say confusingly large, it's not a troll job from Lars von Trier that he has a confusingly large penis. It's insane. It is an absolute joke.
Also, that video, at least when you Google it, it gives you a Reddit link as the top one. With zero context, I think even with context, that video was very confusing. That's just him.
Everyone look it up, though, if you need to see for yourself.
There's no such thing as no, not safe for work anymore, so you're absolutely fine. Yeah. Go ahead. Enjoy yourself. I would say knock yourself out, but he could.
Hog it up.
So. I've got this from Alex Fisher. Lads, I write to you today with two very important points. Although you don't have to read the second part out. We will, so shame on you. Firstly, like the Queen on page one of my passport, I request and require assistance in the sternest possible terms. Is that what the Queen does?
I don't know.
She's a very stern person.
That's what she said.
Have you got your passport near you, like, anyone?
Help.
No. I do. It's in that bag behind me.
I just want to know if the Queen asks me to do things.
I'll get it. Continue to read on.
I will. Near the start of lockdown, Joe recommended a mobile P-Cross game called Pixel Puzzle by Konami. These puzzles have kept my brain sharp during the 5G tower pandemic. We do not endorse that conspiracy theory. But alas, checking my completion scores, I find I only have 10 puzzles to go. Can you recommend another P-Cross game? I demolished the Zelda and Pokemon ones on 3DS and played a good deal of Murder by Numbers on Switch, although the puzzles in that one were very simple. Can you recommend any others? Things can get ugly when I haven't had my daily fix. Have you got a Switch? P-Cross, what is it, S5?
Yeah. S5, they have all the S's. There's S1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've got hours worth of P-Cross.
And those particular, the Nintendo-y ones are amazing. They're very good. I would also say...
If you have an iPhone...
Yes.
P-Cross Luna.
Yeah, you gave me that one. You can get that on Android too. P-Cross Luna 2, I've put a very long time into. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yes.
Secondly, this is quite interesting. I guess I get this. I want to sincerely thank you for keeping the podcast going through lockdown and maintaining high quality despite recording remotely. To show my thanks, I'd like to offer a prize to the next winner of the Endless Search.
Hey!
I have a friend who owns a restaurant in London.
Is after this email.
And while they were closed, they sold vouchers, one of which I bought. It's unlikely I'll be able to get to London anytime soon, so I offer it to you now as tribute.
Details below.
It does seem unfair that I'd get it in this circumstance, because other people are in can't the podcast.
I say me and Joe just go for a meal there if it's for
two. Is it for two?
A nice little treat.
We could have a look. We'll check it out. That's very kind of you, Alex. I'm excited about the idea of
thank you very much.
Special restaurant. Kisses, Alex and the Cold Wet North. P.S. I'm sorry my drowning...
P.S.
I'm sorry my drowning story isn't particularly funny. I fell in a river when I was little, but someone fetched me out again. I liked it.
Oh. Lucy, have you ever had any near-drowning funny stories?
It wasn't a funny story, but yes, I have. I've almost drowned a couple times. And funnily enough, I have a lifelong fear of deep water.
That will happen. That will happen.
Hey! No, so...
That is what a funny story.
I grew up in the cold, wet north. I grew up in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. And, Newcastle-upon-Tyne. Tyne. I don't know. I don't really say Tyne.
It's the same.
Do you want me to say this whole thing in Geordie, just so it feels more apt to the story?
If you want to.
So I actually grew up in Washington first before I moved into Newcastle proper. And my mum took me to swimming lessons at the Birtley Baths. Mm-hmm. Birtley Baths, right?
Someone's been murdered there.
That's what they named it after him.
These baths were closed more often than not when I went to go for a swimming lesson because people were just shit in the pool.
Nice.
So that's the kind of establishment Birtley Baths was. Anyway, I had my swimming lessons and I was in the kids' pool and they put me in the big pool too early and I was not enough a swimmer. And they started to get us to do laps. And at one point, halfway in the middle, I just started to sink. And the only thing I had to grab onto was the lane divider, mm-hmm. the floating lane divider. Mm. And then they had to fish me out with a pole.
With a pole?
Oh, what a funny
story.
Yeah,
with the pole. But then my mum, because the way the Birtley Baths is laid out, she could only see the kids' pool. You couldn't see the big pool. So I came out and I was like, I don't ever want to swim again. And I never did.
Never swam again? never even touched water again?
No.
Have you got a passport?
I do.
There?
So Alex is correct. The Queen is quite stern. Her Britannic Majesty's Secretary of State requests and requires, in the name of Her Majesty, all those whom it may concern, to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance, and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary.
I don't need the Queen backing me up. I can get places without the Queen's help.
I've been places.
Patronising
And I'm no
queen.
Royally. Anyway, I hope those Pete Cross games I'll give you, and thank you very much for that lovely offer. I have a final piece of feedback from Matt Fletcher. He says, "Hello, my name is Matt, and first off, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I tend to listen in the bath. I know it's a bit strange, but I'll crack open a beer so I feel like I'm one of the lads."
Me and you are kindred spirits. We currently have bad tiling in my flat, which means we can no longer shower and can only have baths, which makes almost no difference to me because I almost always have baths. I love them. Podcast time, baby.
Baths. I think I've said it before. Baths are my hotel treats. I love getting in a bath at a hotel. Mm. Getting a podcast on. Getting the switch on. So, yeah. Kindred spirits. Says he's just finished watching Primal Fear with Richard Gere and Ed Norton. I just had to email in. My girlfriend suggests I watch it. She's already seen it. But by the time the film ended, she had fallen asleep. So after several failed attempts to wake her to discuss this amazing film, I just watched. I turned to my friend.
Did your girlfriend die?
I think
several failed attempts to wake someone. That's too many.
Wait, unless she's like me, where if I'm going to sleep, it's just not even worth talking to me because I'm not.
To be fair,
I've checked out.
I once went round to Krupa's house. It was the first time I'd ever been to his house, and we watched Halloween because we're romantic. And he fell asleep, and he sleeps so deeply that I legitimately shook him and he wouldn't wake up, like shook his head around. I couldn't get out of his flat. And so I just had to I just had to keep talking and being like loud while doing things.
Just like moving some pads
like, genuinely,
around.
I just had to keep making loud noises until it finally woke up. This golem of a man who sat in his sofa. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
That is incredible. But, after several failed attempts to wake her, I turned to my friends. By the way, it's past midnight, and the ones who didn't reply hadn't seen it. So what better time to send my first email in than right now? I just want your guys' opinion on, one, have you seen this film, and where would you rate this? I personally have seen the film, and I very much like it.
I've never seen Primal Fear.
I've never seen it,
haven't
but I
you?
Want to now.
It's so very good.
What is it?
I don't want to tell you. It's mainly a courtroom drama, but it's like about. It's like a criminal thriller that centers around a courtroom. Edward Norton is amazing in it. Richard Gere, I rarely enjoy him, but he is very good in this. I think, does it have Laura Linney in it as well?
Ooh, I love Laura Linney.
I made that up.
Is Ed Norton a good guy or bad guy?
It does have Laura Linney and Frances McDormand.
That is good.
Is
that the core of the movie?
The concept of the film is young altar boy Aaron Stampler, who is Edward Norton, his life is changed when he's accused of murdering a priest.
Oh.
And Edward Gere is a lawyer, so that is the crux of the film. It's a very good film.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do have it on. I did have it on IMDb.
Here we go.
Commander, it's been bumped.
Must have made way for something else. I know. Nah. I do very much enjoy it though.
Mm.
It's a very good twisty film, and it's good early Edward Norton as well. So
nice.
I would enjoy that film. His second question quickly. He asks, are there any of these type of 90s early 2000 crime thriller films that you would suggest to watch next? I don't know what ones you haven't
seen,
but
always a good shout.
Seven.
Insomnia?
Yeah,
not really a courtroom drama, but
it's crime
a very
thriller.
Bleak. It's crime thrillery. Mm-hmm. Bleak.
If you enjoyed Kimbo. The Fugitive is amazing. If you enjoyed the courtroom drama aspects, then All the President's Men is great.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
Why is Kermit on trial?
That's to me what Tommy Lee Jones sounds like. And Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford does have a bit of Kermit to him.
He does.
He's got a little bit of Kermit.
He does. It's earlier, but Chinatown is amazing. I'm just going through some lists. LA Confidential and The Usual Suspects are both brilliant for that. But they both do have Kevin Spacey.
They've both been tarnished.
You, whether you want
still
to do
never
that.
Seen LA Confidential.
It's fantastic.
Primal Fear is 131 on Sunday.
There we go. Good on
Sunday. So it's a very good film. And I'd go The Untouchables as well. Why not? There's a few crime thrillers in there for you. Do you know what? People forget about Collateral.
I watched that recently. It's really good fun. It's a bit like the ending's not very good, but it's a really fun ride to a slightly shit ending.
Yeah. And a mad Mark Ruffalo performance as well.
I mean, this obviously is extremely obvious, but if you haven't seen Silence of the Lambs,
it's
incredible.
Yeah. Anyway, if you want to send in your feedback, send it to ign_ukfeedback@ign.com. We'd appreciate that. It would be very fun. Let us know what you think of Avengers. And keep the... There's been a lot of good emails about Tenet. I imagine next week we might delve into Tenet more.
I think I can see that happening. As long as they don't reveal console release dates, which could happen. Who has a fucking clue at this point?
Yes.
Yep.
But thank you for listening. Thank you so much, Lucy, for waking up so early.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. I've been a big fan of the podcast for a long time now, and so it's been very nice to be on. Oh. And also to chat with my good friends, who I miss dearly.
Are we playing Overwatch today?
We can do today, actually. Let me look at my cal. I think I'm free.
Let's leave it till after the podcast.
Yeah, mate, I'm in. Let's play Overwatch.
Lovely. Okay, thank you very much. And...
Oh, we need music.
Oh!
Oh, God. What music? What have we talked about?
Lucy, suggest your current favourite song.
Is there good spirit?
No. I want Lucy's current favourite song.
Okay.
My current favourite song. Ooh, let's play New Sensation by INXS.
Yes!
Oh.
I am just prolific.
Cry, baby, cry. When you got to get it out. Sensation. New sensation.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times best-selling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the
given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.